Hello, this is Kate Magic and you're listening to the Raw Living Podcast. Raw Living is Europe's leading raw foods and superfood supplier. I founded the company in 2002. And in this interview series, I talked to some of the people behind the companies that we offer on our shop to find out more about what they do. What is the ethos behind the company, and particularly not just the processing in the products, like the ingredients they use and how they put everything together, but also how do they show respect for the environment? How do they treat their workers? Most companies in this industry put a huge amount of integrity and dedication into providing products that are really benefiting the people and the planet. So I wanted to provide insights into that. When you're shopping with these companies, you're not just investing in your health, you're investing in a better world for us all. On this episode, I'm talking to Nicola Stransky, who's the founder of The Urban Fermentary, who make the best kimchi and kimchi hot sauce. So she's going to tell us a little bit about how she got into making kimchi and some of the benefits of this gorgeous product. Hi, Nicola.
Hi, Kate. How are you today?
I'm really wonderful. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
Good, good. So I discovered your products, I think, from Planet Organic, and just the thing about kimchi, I'm a huge, huge kimchi fan, and a lot of what's produced as kimchi in the kind of health food scene isn't really very kimchi-like, in my opinion. And I just really adored, yours has got such a robust, gorgeous kimchi essence to it. So do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us how you became an expert kimchi maker.
Thank you very much for those kind words. I guess I started off. I studied food science and nutrition just after I left school, and then so I had this real interest in health in general, but then got more interested into the packaging, processing, and new foods, but. After I graduated, much to my parents' delight, I ended up going to work on a mine site. And the food on a mine site is, as you can imagine, it's as dead as can be. Like lots of beige-coloured foods, everything just cooked to smithereens. And I started to realise after a while that my health was, particularly my gut health, was like really deteriorating, and I was getting like a lot of stomach aches and things. And then it sort of sparked this interest back into nutrition and holistic nutrition as well. So there wasn't that much info on gut health. It was quite sort of, and the microbiome, it was sort of quite new-ish. I listened to a podcast up there, and it talked about kombucha and kefirs and fermented foods. So I ended up making kombucha in the archive room of our office. And I, after a while, like I noticed straight away that that was actually really helping with my gut. But funnily, if there's residual alcohols in kombucha, and one of my superiors found that I had this odd thing that I was growing and drinking in the archive room, and he asked to have a sip of it, which, you know, obviously I was very happy to do, and not knowing about the not being fully aware of the alcohol content. And then he went and did a breathalyzer test, and he came up positive for alcohol, and they sort of were quite keen to fire me on the spot for for making booze on site. Yeah, wow. Which is which I managed to sort of talk my way out of that, which was very fortunate. But but yeah, it was amazing, and I was giving this thing to a lot of the other women on site who'd said they'd also had stomach problems and stuff, and Yeah, it was really amazing. So I, at the time, was also living in Bali in Indonesia. And because I would work for a week and then I would go to Indonesia for a week, which was home. And I started making the kombucha up there and nobody was really doing it at that time. And so I started a kombucha company up there. And then after a while, I left the mines, decided to leave Bali and head for the UK with thoughts of setting up a kombucha company here. And when I arrived, there was already a few great kombuchas. There was so I then just kept on dabbling, and I think the food scientist in me just, you know, I was loving experimenting with different types of fermented foods, which I must say that my housemate definitely didn't appreciate, because every time he would come home there would be something weird bubbling away or there were a few explosions. But then I started producing kimchi. I really missed that sort of the heat that I consumed a lot of spicy foods in Indonesia. And so I discovered kimchi and then gave it to a few chefs here. And they were like, this is unbelievably good stuff. So I, on their sort of, you know, encouragement, I started to produce it on a commercial scale and was super lucky in the first year, got the three great taste stars for the product, which has also been really encouraging. But I guess I've also really liked producing something that so many people, when I speak to them or they come to the house or whatever, so many people say, oh my God, I've just been on antibiotics, or my stomach really needs some probiotics and I need some fermented foods in my life. So it's really nice to be able to share that with a lot of people as more and more people are so aware of the benefits of fermented foods and live foods.
Mm. Yeah. Easy to say, most people won't, but just in a nutshell, tell us, what are the benefits of fermented foods?
So particularly wild fermented foods, which is using the bacteria and yeast that are naturally on the outside of those vegetables for fermentation. It means that you get a multitude of different types of probiotics in that food. And the benefit of that is we've got 2 kilos of bacteria living in our gut, and they say that it is the second brain. So 70% of your serotonin is produced in the gut, and also plays a crucial role in your immune system. So making sure that microflora is really healthy, but also is really diverse, is what's really important. So they do, you know, it's important to consume a range of fermented foods, but particularly when you do consume wild fermented foods like a lot of the kimchis are and sauerkrauts, you get multiple strains in that food, which is really good.
And tell us the difference between kimchi and sauerkraut. What makes kimchi so special?
I absolutely love kimchi because I think I like the type of cabbage that's used. So with a sauerkraut, you use a traditional sort of European, a very dense white cabbage. And then you shave that really finely, add salt to it and macerate it. So you massage it until liquid comes out. And then that salty liquid is the right environment for the bacteria to then start. The salty environment kills the pathogenic bacteria and only allows the good bacteria to start working, so it then starts eating the sugars and producing acids. But they don't traditionally add too much else to sauerkraut, so they are mostly, I find, quite simple in flavor profile, whereas I find with the kimchi you use a Chinese cabbage, so it's much softer, so you get I make it with quite big pieces, and then the the other flavors that go in there are garlics, gingers. I put a gluten-free soy in there, so a tamari soy, and you know, you can put and the chili in there, and mine's also got sesame as well. So you get, I find with the kimchi, you just get so much more flavor in there as opposed to a sauerkraut. Mm.
And tell us about that Korean chili. Why is that so special?
The Korean chili is amazing because it is not, it's not too hot. It has a very sort of, it's lighter in spice, but it's also quite sweet. And the color of it tends to bleed. So you get a really nice redness throughout the product. And I have actually tried to make it not when I wasn't able to find the Korean chili, and I was sort of playing around using some other types of chilies, but you just don't get that really nice red color coming through the whole product, which I think is, you know, part of the reason it's so beautiful as well, because it's got that really nice color to it.
And that umami flavor, isn't it?
Oh, yes. So good. It's funny. Everyone said in the beginning, they were like, you know, you'll get sick of your product really soon. So enjoy it while it lasts. And it's quite funny because I still have not. And every time if I run out of kimchi in the fridge, I get very sad. So
our Raw Living chocolate bars, we've been making those 14 years and I still eat them all the time.
It's good. I feel very lucky to be working with a product that I am not, you know, definitely not sick of at all.
So tell us about your range. What is it that you've got in your range?
So we've got four products at the moment. We've got two kimchis and two hot sauces. So I started off with the original sesame kimchi. That was the first product. And then I actually made a white miso one, which tasted fantastic, but the colouring of it sort of over time, the miso, it just sort of went this light grey colour, and it wasn't bad, but visually you just kind of, it looked like something you weren't supposed to be eating. So I then changed that to a turmeric and miso, which has got, you know, visually it's beautiful, and also turmeric has that great anti-inflammatory properties to it. But that product was also created because I had a lot of people coming to the markets and they were saying that they that it was too spicy, or that they wanted to have something that they could feed to their you know, have with their whole family with younger kids, and they didn't want to give them spice. So I was just trying to sort of create something in that kimchi, very intense flavors, but something that was suitable for people that were heat sensitive or families. And then at the end of making the kimchi, there's always this really beautiful bacterially rich juice that comes out, that's got all of the, you know, the garlic, the ginger flavors, the spice. It's salty, it's sour, and so instead of throwing that away, I do a second fermentation with that. So I get a heap of fresh chilies and more garlic, and then do a second ferment, and then turn that into a kimchi hot sauce. So it's got all of those amazing kimchi flavors, but with more spice to it. And it's basically, for me, it's my way of taking the kimchi with me wherever I go.
It's so good. When I first discovered it, I was literally putting it on everything.
Oh, that's so good to hear. I'm such a sucker for it. I have this you know, on a Sunday night or something where you just, it's all too much. I tend to get myself a really cheap pizza and then just douse it in that, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also nice just not to have, I've studied, I've got a degree in sustainability management, and so it's been really important to me to try to minimize waste as much as possible in the whole process. As well, so it's been great to find a new a new product that's come out of that as well. Because I know a lot of people do the gut, I think they're called gut rot shots, which are absolutely, which are fantastic. But yeah, I mean, I ended up with hot sauce, which I'm very happy with.
Yeah, we're all very happy.
Glad to hear that.
And so the turmeric hot sauce is just the sauce of the golden kimchi.
Yes, that's correct. And then I do it with yellow Scotch bonnets to get that heat in there. But a few people, where I was at the Allergen and Free From trade show a couple of weekends ago, and people were quite, it's hot, that one. The yellow one is definitely, it's got a lot of fire to it.
So what's next? Have you got anything coming up you want to tell us about?
I am really interested in expanding the range, and I really wanted it to be all organic, but I found it very hard to source year round the Chinese leaf, an organic source of that. So the next product will be an organic sauerkraut and a organic pickles, dill pickles. So which I just go absolutely crazy for. So I'm really particularly excited about those, and because I know most of the time when I get them at the store, there doesn't seem to be anyone that's doing lacto fermented ones, so a live version of those amazing salty sour pickles. So
Palmer do them, but it's hard getting them off them. I think they don't have a regular
supply. So it will be nice to do those, because I do love a good pickle back and just pickles in general. I was also thinking about, but it's proven to be a little bit challenging, doing a beet kvass. So a very sort of that Eastern European drink, because I'm really into, I really love the savory in a lot of these products. So, but the beet kvass is so volatile. It's got so much bacteria in there, and the bottles just continually exploding. So that project has sort of been put on hold until there is a safe way to deal with them.
Yeah, you don't want beets exploding all over your kitchen.
No, definitely not. It looks like some sort of crime scene. So, yeah. So maybe that one might be on hold for a little while longer. But it is, I absolutely do. I love a good kvass.
Nicola, thank you so much for your time today.
No worries at all, Kate. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. You can check out the products we've been talking about by visiting Raw Living, rawliving.eu. If you haven't got an account already, sign up for an account. You get £5 off your first order. And you can also hear more of my interviews over on katemagic.com. Please subscribe and rate the podcast. It really helps. And yeah, thank you. See you next time.